Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning. I'm going to hand over to Derek for the notices.
Thank you, Norman, and welcome everybody. This morning we are busy. You can see some things are different. Probably the most obvious is all the harvest goods, which is lovely to see. So, of course, we are celebrating Harvest Thanksgiving this morning. And we have kids at church with us as well. Catch are here too. There's a note there that tells you the donations of non-perishable goods will go to the food bank along with the proceeds of sale of fresh goods. Now, that sale of fresh goods will be here in church from the tables here after we finish. The other thing that's here this morning, and it hasn't come up in the slide, so that hasn't gone through the process. I changed it this morning at home and it hasn't got here. There is tea and coffee after worship this morning, being the last Sunday of the month. So that is through in the Irene Patterson room, and we can tell you what else is there in a wee minute. But coming on to the next item, coffee morning, Saturday coming, 10 till 12 here. Please come along. The money raised from that is going to our Compassion Fund for the Compassion Kids. And there's still spaces on the volunteer sheet if you can help with the event. And that sheet is in the vestibule. Thank you. Today we are launching our shoebox appeal for this year. We are once again supporting the Blythewood Care appeal, and the shoeboxes will go to Albania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Kosovo, Moldova, Romania, Serbia and Ukraine. And it's amazing that since 1993 more than 2.6 million boxes have been sent, each one an expression of care and kindness for strangers in need. So, as ever, you can help by firstly filling a shoebox with items from the list on the leaflet. The leaflets are in the vestibule. You can donate items from the list, which we can use to fill shoeboxes. You can give a donation of money towards the transport costs. You can provide us with shoeboxes because they're not as common as they used to be. Just average-sized ones, please. And, of course, your prayers for everyone, for the appeal and for the people who will receive the boxes would be very welcome. The leaflets are in the vestibule, or they can be downloaded from Blythewood Care from their website. And donations will be made or available to be taken until the 27th of October. The footnote that also is missing there is that there are scarves and hats available suitable for the appeal. Those are available to purchase in the Irene Patterson room this morning. Importantly, next Sunday the 6th, there is no service here in Cairney Hill because it's our next joint service with our neighbouring West Fife Village congregations. And that is at 11 o'clock. We standardised the time for the joint services at 11 o'clock at the Miners Welfare Club in Steel End. So please consider sharing transport up there. And remember, we won't be here and there won't be a Zoom presentation from here either. There are further intimations on the sheet. The one that you'll see about the harvest dance on the 18th October may be worth paying attention to because there's a sheet for names for that in the vestibule as well. You can get the sheet from the website or the Facebook page if you don't have a copy. And now, especially for those on Zoom, here's a look at the order of service. Thank you.
And Derek and I had an agreement that if he forgot an intimation, I would make it. And that is to say that Hazel, who's been in hospital, we've just had a note to say that she's now home. So for those that occasionally pop in to see Hazel, I'm sure she'd love to see you. It's harvest. Well, we worship God. Sounds like an idea. I think it might be why we're here. So let's begin by singing hymn number 233, Come You Thankful People Come.
Thank you.
Let's bless our offerings. Almighty God, we thank you for your many good gifts to us. We know that all that we receive and all that we give comes from your generosity. We ask you to bless our offerings of money and our offerings of produce to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I've got a wee question. If I say the word harvest, what does it make you think of? And that probably means stressed out farmers for some families here.
Never seen a farmer.
Never seen a farmer. What do you think when I say harvest?
Food.
Okay. What kind of food?
Wheat.
Yeah, I suppose that's our immediate thought. And what's in that picture when I say harvest? It won't be the supermarket, I hope.
A field.
A field. And what would be in the field?
Wheat.
And what else would be in the field?
A farmer.
A farmer. And what else would be in the field?
A tractor.
A tractor, right? A combine harvester, right? Yeah, we've got all of those pictures, and sometimes our picture of harvest can be quite old-fashioned. I'm wearing something old-fashioned today. Do you know what it is? Yeah. Now, I wore my watch chain because these are called fobs that hang down here, and these were my great uncle's. And my great uncle was a ploughman, so he worked on the farm. And these were because he played quoits. So I hope nobody thinks that I was winning the national quoit competition or taking part in 1926. But I thought, if there's a day to wear this, this is the day to wear something that reminds me of my background in farming. And I remember my great uncle Bob. I used to help him when I was a wee boy. I think I was helping when he was lifting tatties in the back garden. And my memory there is of the tatties being lifted, and that's a kind of harvest. And the smallest tatties that he didn't think were worth putting in a pot, he used to chuck them, and he had a terrier that used to chase and eat the potatoes. That's my memory of my Uncle Bob. My mum remembers him as a ploughman with horses, because that would have been during wartime, and there were still a lot of horses used on the land then. And we've got all of these pictures of farming, which might seem a little bit old-fashioned, because farming has become a much more technological thing in most of our lives. I take it nobody here gets tatty holidays now. Anybody here remember the tatty holidays?
Yes.
And that was a kind of harvest. We celebrate all kinds of things in harvest. Now, a few years ago, well, a good few years ago, probably when I was in my late teens and early 20s, there was a move in towns and cities where people said, well, harvest is about everything. It's all the stuff that we have. And in the city, people don't go out into the fields. So the decision was made that harvest would be a celebration, but we would give money, because money was the harvest in the city. People worked for money, and certainly in Edinburgh, with all the financial institutions, money was very much regarded as the kind of harvest of a city like Edinburgh. I think that was wrong. And it's been corrected because harvest in the cities now has gone back to something that is very traditional. And the reason for having that is that if you forget that what you eat comes from the ground, you can forget the ground from which your food comes. We don't have any excuse because we see the fields around us. But some people don't see fields very often. And if you forget the ground that your food comes from, you can think that it doesn't matter. And if you forget that it takes people to work that ground, you can begin to think that they don't matter. And so I'm really glad that harvest has gone back to being very much a traditional celebration. And it's good to see all of this stuff here. In the past, the harvest offering would have gone to people who didn't have much in parishes up and down the country. But now, we are still able to do that because there are people who do not have enough, and we are able to help with things like food bank. And that's important because harvest is actually about appreciation. We appreciate the food we have. None of us would want to go home for lunch and find there was nothing to eat. We appreciate a whole host of people that go from ploughing to sowing to harvesting to transporting to preparing to shops and to the people who maybe cook our food for us. That'd be a good idea. I think there's two boys there that probably like the food. And it's good that we remember all of that because all of this is God's gift to us. And the reason I chose the next hymn is because it's really a reminder. You know, think of a world if there were no flowers. You know, think of all the things that we love and enjoy and appreciate. And it's good for us to do that. Now, I'm trying to remember the number of that hymn. It's 155. So we're going to sing 155. So think of a world without any flowers. And that makes you appreciate. And there's all sorts of things in there about the whole of our lives. Because harvest isn't just about one thing. It's about lots of things. And it's about our appreciation of the world. It's about our appreciation of each other. It's about us remembering that Jesus said that we were to love God and we were to love each other. And we do that by our care. So let's sing Think of a World Without Any Flowers.
Thank you.
This is when I am intrigued to see what's happening. And now, Rosemary is going to lead us in prayer.
The first few lines of verse today come from the Faith and Worship website and will lead us on into prayer. In the fading of the summer sun, the shortening of days, cooling breeze, swallow's flight and moonlight rays, we see the Creator's hand. In the browning of leaves once green, morning mists, autumn chill, fruit that falls, frost's first kiss, we see the Creator's hand. Let us pray. Almighty God, wonderful Creator, giver of this beautiful earth on which we live, we give you thanks and praise. Lord of the harvest, you have guided us throughout the generations, and you have taught us the need for care of everyone. All good gifts come from you. You send the sunshine and the rain, and it is through your love and care that we enjoy the harvest time. Thank you for providing so richly for our needs, and help us to share the good things we have with those who have little or nothing. We pray for your blessing on every kind of harvest that we enjoy, for all the good things that you have given us. Thank you for the harvest of the land and the sea. Bless too the harvest of factory, of mine, and of workshop. Bless the harvest of research and creativity. May we work with you in every area of life to produce what is worthwhile, good and fruitful. Sustaining God, bring us together this day in our need, in our worship, in our joy and in our hope. Forgive our moments of ingratitude, for harmful choices, for taking without giving, reaping without sowing, the desire to control rather than collaborate. God with us, God with earth, open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share. May our feet tread lightly on your path and our footsteps be worthy of following you as we bring to you now our own thoughts and to say sorry. Merciful God, receive our sorrows for what should not have been. Forgive and repurpose what we are today, as we join together now in saying the words that Jesus taught us to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our readings this morning come from the Book of Psalms and from John's Gospel. The first reading is one of praise for all of God's graciousness and giving to us, that God looks after every living thing. And then from John's Gospel, part of a longer passage where Jesus has fed the 5,000 and the people are following him across the lake. And we'll hear why they're following him, because he is a bit critical of them. And now we're going to hear, Alistair's going to read to us those Bible passages.
So let us now hear God's word. Let us listen and take this in. So from Psalm 145, verses 8 to 16. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendour of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Amen. Then from the Gospel of John chapter 6, we're reading from verses 22 to 35. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Hymn 229, "We plough the fields and scatter."
Thank you.
In our worship throughout the year, there are some hymns that are almost compulsory for a particular service. There are hymns that we associate with a particular worship theme. If I were to conduct a poll of hymns for harvest, I am almost certain that the one hymn that would come top of the list is "We Plough the Fields and Scatter." Any worship leader that chose not to have this hymn on a harvest Sunday could expect criticism at the church door. It is interesting that that hymn that we've just sung uses the word harvest only once. The hymn goes through all the seasons of the year, gives thanks for all that God does and provides through creation. And in the midst of that, harvest is listed as one of God's gifts. Maybe our first hymn seems more to do with harvest, at least in that first verse. We sang, "Come, you thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker will provide for our needs to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home." Having a reread of "We Plough the Fields and Scatter" reveals a greater truth, that harvest is more than merely thanksgiving that there is now food in the barns. As a consumer society, we may be glad that the food is there to supply our needs and more likely to supply our wants. The traditional celebration of harvest was as much to do with the fruits of labour as it was to do with the actual amount of harvest at the end, although that was the celebration that the harvest was safely taken in. Perhaps we are more correct than we realise to value the hymn that we sang just before this sermon. Intertwined in this hymn are all the seasons of the year, the work of the farmer, the dependence upon weather and biological process, all of this seen as a gift of God. If we go back to the first hymn we sang, "Come, you thankful people, come," it is certainly a thanksgiving for harvest. But as you go, as we went into the second and subsequent verses, I hope you noticed that it was picking up a theme from one of Jesus' parables. In one of the parables of the kingdom, as they're called, we hear of the farmer who planted good seed. But as the seed germinates and the plants begin to grow, the servants, his servants, realize that there are so many weeds growing in amongst the seed and say to the farmer, "Didn't you use good seed?" And he says, "Yes, one of my enemies did this." And the workers say, "Will we go and pull up the weeds?" And the farmer says, "No. We'll do that at the harvest and we'll separate the good from the bad." In a significant number of Bible texts, sowing and reaping are used to illustrate the realities of life and living as God's people. Many of the parables of the kingdom are pictures taken from agriculture. Some of the sayings that come from these parables are used by people without knowing that they are in the Bible, often used because they express a self-evident truth. You reap what you sow, I suppose, is at the heart of that parable of the weeds in the field. Sowing generously gains more than sowing sparsely. What we sow is what we get, not just in quantity, but also in quality. If we go back to the laws regarding harvest in Leviticus and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, we find that harvest is very much a justice issue for God's people. In those laws, there is provision for the landless, for the widow, for the alien, the foreigner amongst the people. Jesus' use of harvest as an illustration makes it clear that generosity and care are key elements of what we do with God's gifts. As we read Psalm 145, we found in there God's generosity and graciousness to all that he has made. A reminder that we are all dependent upon God, and all that we have is from God. We are stewards of these things, not owners. We are part of creation, not rulers over creation. Care for creation and care for each other are an integral part of faith and worship, a declaration of our love for God. And surely if we are giving thanks to the God of the harvest, we are saying that we have a responsibility in our use of the harvest. In John's Gospel, we have Jesus critical of the people who seek him out following the feeding of the 5,000. He left the crowd because they wanted to take hold of him and make him king. They want somebody who is going to supply what they want. They follow him because of the loaves, not because they want to hear about Almighty God. If we think about our society, a criticism of our society is that we, as a very materialist society, have a tendency to know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. Everything in our lives has both cost and value. Very often when we're concentrating on cost, it's about immediate gratification of desire. When we talk about value, it is about lasting benefit. In our society, for quite a significant amount of time now, the view has been that the market will sort out everything. And what's meant there is that, of course, the buyer wants to pay the least possible, and the seller wants to get the most they can for a product. But the buyer needs to buy and the seller needs to sell, and so some way or another, it creates a balance. The market, as it is called, has not worked out that way. It seems to make some wealthy at the cost of poverty to others in both directions, because sometimes we do not pay the seller enough. And sometimes the buyer has to pay too much. Many years ago, I overheard a conversation at a charity jumble sale. I knew the people involved, and it brought a bit of a smile to my face. There was a man there who often came into the church hall, and let's just say he was a little bit eccentric. And I say that knowing I'm probably a little bit eccentric too. And he went to buy something at this stall. And the stall holder said, well, this is the price. And the gentleman concerned said, I'm sorry, that's not right. I want to pay you more. And the lady behind the stall said, but that's the price on the item. Well, I'm sorry, you're not asking enough. And so this argument went on, where the person who was selling wanted to sell it for less, and the person who wanted to buy it for more. And I think they came to some kind of compromise that the seller took what the buyer wanted to give. Whether that's a compromise or not, I don't know. But it was a really peculiar moment, because it was somebody looking at something that they wanted to buy and said, this is its value. And the person who was selling was saying, well, I hadn't valued it that much. As God's people, we are called to be a people who are less concerned about cost and really concerned about value. And that is at the heart of Harvest Thanksgiving. Yes, we're giving thanks to God for what we receive from him, whether we are the one providing or whether we are the one receiving. We know that it's all about God. But Jesus was very clear that we should value each other. Love God with everything that you are, and love your neighbour as yourself. As God's people, we are called to value others, and in our giving to know that we are of value to others. This may be short-term cost, but in God's grace, it is to our eternal profit. As we celebrate the fruits of the earth, we might say, well, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul Swartz. To get that fruit, we should be people who sow that seed. And if you're thinking about the society of which we are part, if you're thinking about the nation to which we belong, if you're going wider than that to the world that is in the news that we read and hear and watch, the seed that we need to be sowing is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Or as that little quotation with Harvest Thanksgiving says, care less for your harvest than for how it is shared, and your life will have meaning and your heart will have peace. As God's people celebrating the harvest, celebrating God's goodness to us, it gives us a responsibility in the use of the harvest. So as we give thanks for the world of which we are part, as we give thanks for the labour of so many in terms of ploughing, sowing, harvesting, and preparing our food from that very early moment of planning for a harvest to the food on our plate, we give thanks for all of those folk. We are those who are grateful to God, and in our gratefulness, we care less for what we receive and more about how it's shared, because we are people who look for value, for meaning in life, and a heart at peace. Amen. We sing now hymn number 543 as we prepare to look beyond ourselves to praying for others. So we're going to sing Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. Rosemary is going to lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, creator of all that is seen and unseen, of all we can understand and all that is yet to be revealed. You have placed us in a universe with breathtaking splendour and with an ability to constantly surprise and amaze us. Hear us as we humbly come before you in simple trust and certain knowledge that you will listen to all our prayers. At this special time of year, we pray for all our farmers who work hard to make sure that we have food to eat and to share. Father, Lord, bless all who labour to satisfy our needs, and we pray that all trade between peoples may be done openly and fairly, with due regard for the environment and human dignity. Merciful God, we pray for areas of the world where hatred and wars make the efforts of daily life so difficult. May all hear the words of Jesus, who told us of the peacemakers being blessed and of treating our neighbours as ourselves. We continue to pray for the Middle East in such a desperate situation, and our prayers remain with the people of Ukraine. Lord, hear us. We bring to you our own country and for all in authority, that they will govern wisely and with due regard for the needs of all people. Father, Lord, we bring to you our families and our community. We are especially mindful of families who cannot afford enough food for themselves, and that the gifts we have given today will bless those in and around our community. We pray that each family finds a place for the love of Jesus and the special peace which it brings. Lord, hear us. Loving God, we remember all who are ill at home, in hospital, nursing home or hospice, and all who are known to us. Comfort and sustain those who are in need of your grace. We pray too for all who care for them, for their skills, knowledge and compassion in responding to the needs of others. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, whether recently or long ago. And may the knowledge of your resurrection in glory bring comfort to all who grieve. Lord of all peace, hear our prayer. And may our expressions of gratitude never deafen us to the cries of those in need. And in celebrating your love, may we never forget that your love reaches others through us, as we bring to you now all whom we hold closely in the quietness of our hearts. God of grace, as you are ever at work in your creation, so fulfil your wise and loving purpose in us and in all for whom we pray. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing praise, hymn number 153. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thank you.
to love and to serve, to worship the Lord of the harvest, and to share his harvest of righteousness. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you always.